Jan, are you there?
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
The recording has started. Please go ahead.
Good.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the JIG call. And on the call, we have David Cohen, Rafik Damak, Han Chuan Lee, Edmund Chan, Avery Doria, Chris Despain, Chuck Gomes, Yu Yiling, and Jane Zhang. And for staff, we have Gabriela Schittek, Christina Nordstrom, Bart Goswinkel, Olof Nordling, and Glenda Saint-Gerie, myself. Have I left off anybody? We are trying to phone out to Samad Hussein and Fahid Batanek, but they're not answering their phones. Thank you, Edmund.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. So I guess I'll get things started. First of all, thanks everyone for joining the call. So the intent of the call is to get this get the JIG started. It's the joint IDN group between the GNSO and CCNSO. It's been somewhat of a long time coming, I would say. But just before we do that, I was just wondering. I was hearing through Glenn. You mentioned people from staff. Is Tina also on the call, and is she expected to join the call sometime?
She's not on the staff at she's not on the call at present, Edmund, and we have had no news from her, neither that she will join the call or that she won't.
Okay. But she's on the mailing list.
She's on the mailing list, yes.
Okay. All right. I guess let's get started, and I'll say a few words, and perhaps Jane, you can add to it.
Sure.
the whole idea of the working group is to talk about issues that are of common interest between GTLDs and CCTLDs on the topic of IDN TLDs. Over the last little while, we have identified a few issues that seem to fall into that category. Before this meeting, in fact, myself and Jane have had a call with Chuck and Chris, the chairs of GNSO and CCNSO, to just briefly talk about what might be the items that could fall into the items of common interest, and we have some idea on a few items, and we'll touch on those today, and based on that, we'll and get the input from everyone and get the discussion started. So that's pretty much where we are right now. I think the general process is to try to identify the issue and then come up with some positions, which then we would conceptually bring back to our respective councils and supporting organizations for actual adoption. So that's the general process or conceptual the idea of the JIG. So that's Jane, you want to add anything?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And in terms of just organizing, I think unless we get into a bit of a chaos, just jump in and say your name before, and then just go ahead. Unless it becomes very chaotic, then we'll take a cue. So myself and Jane are the co-chairs for the group. I think we'll try to get things organized a little bit. This time around, we don't really have an agenda except really just to identify the few things and see how we move forward. on it, and so we'll start from there. Anyone have any questions or thoughts on how we organize this? Hearing none, I think we can jump right into the few issues. I did mention that we had a brief discussion with the two chairs of the separate the respective SOs, and it seems like we have identified and also from the email correspondence that happened on this list earlier on. So it seems like we have identified three items of common interest that we can that the group can work on. So the first one is, and a couple of them, the first two are essentially items that are coming, following up from the IDN implementation working team report. So the first one is the link, well, basically single character IDN TLDs, and whether you know what types of policies or needs to be in place. Or you know whether they should be allowed or not. So that's single character IDN TLDs. That's the first topic. The second topic would be variant management, essentially variant management at the root, essentially, which means IDN TLD variant. Third item being more of a, I would say less of a policy development, but more of a policy promotion, if you will, which is the so acceptance of IDN TLDs. We know that there are certain softwares or certain applications that may have problems with dealing with IDN TLDs, which is similar or akin to dealing with longer TLDs that were introduced a few years back. And that might have a further impact on IDNs. That used to be more of a gTLD issue. It's with the introduction of IDN ccTLDs that could become a CC issue as well. So if that seems to be an item that we can discuss on what we can do together as a joint group to promote or address. So those are the three items. Jane, want to add anything?
No, at this point, I couldn't think of anything else.
Okay. So with that, I guess I just really want to open to the floor in terms of are there any other items that you think are of interest, or you know, are there any items from this particular list that you're concerned with, or basically any in terms of the scope of the initial set of discussions for the group?
Edmund, this is Chuck. Regarding the single character top level domains, do I remember correctly that one of the issues, if we go that direction, that needs to be discussed is any possible special allocation methods for those. Is that correct?
I was reviewing the IDN implementation working group report, and I think the issue seems to be left open. In fact, this is one of the things that the reason why I asked whether Tina is on the call. It has this. It talks about that it doesn't seem to have any technical issues, but there needs to be some policy from the GNSO and CCNSO respectively. But there's no particular. There are no particulars on that. So one of the first thing that we might want to do is to get some clarification on that on top of. I guess from staff, if possible, what Tina or what staff feels needs to be included in the policy discussion. So allocation method may be one of them, but if I recall correctly, that might be pertaining more to second level single characters rather than the top level. I may be wrong, but top level there is a rather elaborate process already. Is there required to be a completely different process? I'm not sure. That might be one of the things that staff had in mind, but it's not clear from the report.
Edmund, it's Chris. Can I just pick up on that point about single? If we're going to talk about single characters, let's do that. It seems to me there's a couple of things that arise in the discussion about single characters. The first is a practical point, which is that we need to get very clear about what our status is. My understanding is that, and I could be wrong about this, but my understanding is that there is a current existing policy about single characters, which is referenced specifically to single Latin characters. And if we are to, our job would be presumably to come up with some recommendations to both the GNSO and the CCNSO in respect to single characters in the IDN world. That's a starting point, because this group can't make policy. All this group can do is to make recommendations to the two SOs. And on a more specific point to do with single characters themselves, it seems to me that there's a lot of work to be done about that, because the first starting point has to be, what do you mean by a character? Because at the moment there is no definition in the sense of Latin. It's very easy because it's just a letter. But in the case of, certainly in the case of pictographic languages, and possibly in the case of Arabic, but certainly pictographic languages, or representations of languages, it's a different thing. So if we're going to do this as work, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but if we are going to, then we've actually got to do a lot of fairly heavy groundwork, it seems to me, to come up with some suggestions and recommendations about how we deal with single characters in the IDN world.
Sure. And I think you're quite right in terms of the recommendation part. This group wouldn't be creating any types of policies. We'll be recommending it back to the respective SOs. In terms of one character, sure, I think that is definitely an area that we can we should include in the discussion. But I guess the other points are what other things we need to include if policies are being developed, and that's sort of what I'd like to see if it's possible to get staff to get some clarification, because I guess not all of us were at least on this group, not a lot of people were on that IDN implementation working team, so we might need a little bit more information. In terms of what one character mean, it's definitely a good point. Easiest way I can think of it is that it's one Unicode code point, but of course there's many different other different ways to describe it as you mentioned. So that definitely should be one. But again, that what we may come up with is just as you mentioned, as a set of recommendations, and each SO might take it slightly differently. That's a possibility for sure.
Well, Edmund, this is Chuck. Let's be careful, because I mean, let's not shy away too much from this group actually developing some concrete recommendations. We don't want this group to come back with things that the SOs have to start all over on and work. So don't shy away from making policy recommendations. That's what the group's for. The SO's role is to review those and approve them, or if they think changes need to be made, they can come back to the JIG but it's perfectly okay for this group to make policy recommendations.
Okay. I think that's a fair statement, and in fact, the whole point of the group, I guess, is also to try to come up with some consistency, and it, because there are issues of common interest, some consistency across the continuum of IDN TLDs, including GTLDs and CCTLDs. So that point is well taken. With that, I wonder if I can sort of move it a little bit to staff and see if how do we go about what I mentioned in sort of a way to as a starting point, if you will, for some sort of an issues report, because there must have been some discussions on this topic and resulting in that mentioning that there is a seemingly no technical issue, but some policy issues to be considered, and what those might be would provide a good starting point for this group to consider, especially on both issues of the single character TLD and the variant management, because both are similar cases based on the IDN implementation team working with support. So anyone from staff can perhaps suggest or discuss how we can go about this?
Well, this is Olof, and I don't think I can, but what I perceive that you're asking for is to give some kind of deeper explanation of what has come out of this IDN implementation team. And I wasn't part of that exercise, so maybe you would like to really ask, or I could ask. I could ask if Tina could be available for the next call, or if you have, well, the specific questions. I've heard you saying that, okay, you mentioned that there were seemed to be no technical issues. I don't know if that's necessarily true at all, but as I think Chris mentioned, certainly a policy issue that this is, in a certain sense, uncharted policy territory when it comes to the single character IDN character, whatever a character means. But there clearly is a policy which prohibits single character Latin TLDs at the time being. So, I don't know if that's really helpful, but I think you're asking for more information about the inner workings and the outcome. How did the outcome come about when it comes to variants and such? But perhaps either of you could put down those questions for Tina to respond by mail, or if we. I could ask Tina to be present at the next call, whenever that be.
Olof, can I, Edmund, if you don't mind, I just want to respond to that. I think I'm talking really specifically here about single characters, because I think variance is a different issue, but we'll get to that in a minute. But in respect to single characters, I think it would be very helpful if we had a briefing session with whoever the relevant people are, and it may be Tina and others, to get an understanding of what is thought to be the current situation. You can argue all sorts of ways. You can argue that the current policy applies specifically to Latin characters and therefore doesn't apply to anything else. You can argue that it's a policy that simply says a single character is not allowed, and therefore it doesn't matter whether it's pictographic or Arabic or whatever. And we need to get clear, I think, on what the current believe to be the case, so that we can move forwards from there. Because if, as an example, it's believed that the current policy prohibits single characters in whatever script they may be, then that is one thing, and that means a change of policy. If we decide that we should allow single characters, if on the other hand it is the current situation is there is no policy in respect to single characters in anything other than Latin, then that's a different situation, which is a situation that we have to make some policy. And those two things need a different approach. So I think we do need to get some clarification from whoever the right people are about what they think the current situation actually is in respect to single characters.
This is Alvin. Can I add something to that?
Please go ahead.
I think one other interpretation is that this is a policy based on a technical rule that there can't be any single character names in the DNS and have nothing necessarily to do with whether it's ASCII or not. And it's just that there was a technical limitation that was accepted in as a policy limitation to some extent. So it may even be that you don't need a policy so much as an interpretation.
Sure.
This is Jan. Actually, I may be wrong, but my understanding is when they made that policy for a single character, at that time they didn't have this IDN issue yet. So my understanding is the policy for a single character is just for Latin language. As far as I know, they don't have any concern regarding this IDN single character. But I think they don't have policy for a single character for IDN single character.
Janet, Chris. That may be so. But the problem there is a challenge with that. And that is that in Cyrillic, for example, it's a different script, but it has single characters in precisely the same way that Latin has single characters. And so, therefore, if there is a technical problem, I don't know whether there is or isn't, but if there is a technical problem, we may find ourselves in a situation where what we're actually saying is that there is one policy for certain scripts and another policy other scripts. So I don't think you can take a general approach to simply say it's only in respect to Latin. And it's why I say that I think we need to be briefed and informed by the technical community, if indeed it is their problem, so to speak, that as to what the problem actually is.
Chris, I'll just
talk to you again. Hi, this is Sarmad. Can I jump in? Hello?
Go ahead. Who is that? Sorry, I didn't catch the name.
This is Sarmad Hussain. I'm just requested to join this group, and I was added to this group. I actually was part of the IDN implementation support group, which was talking at this policy. I think some of the comments have been whether this was a technical issue or not, so apparently there is no technical issue in having a single character TLD. The only thing was that when this was being discussed, two characters were obviously reserved for country codes, and three plus characters were for GTLDs. There was no policy which was there to decide who would get and what would be the application process, or whether there should be GTLDs or CCTLDs or whatever they are called for a single character TLDs. So basically, the committee had said that we'll reserve single character until there is community feedback on how to deal with them. And the main constraint is that they're very limited, and we don't really know how they will play out. So technically, there's no issue. but it's actually a policy issue. And then the second thing is that it's equally applicable for other languages as well. So, so far, single language, single character TLDs are not basically allowed for not only Latin but all the other scripts. So they're also applicable to IDMs.
This is Aubrey. Can I add another comment? I think perhaps I didn't make my point as clearly as I hoped I would. For example, I do not think that Cyrillic characters are single characters in the same sense that LDH ASCII characters are, because they're not represented by a single character in the DNS. So they are not single characters. They may look like single characters, but they are not. So they're not in the same sense. And what I was saying is that the limitation may have been just on a single character in the DNS as opposed to visually a single character. And so only LDH are single characters. Everything else is not.
Right, okay. This is Edmund again. I think... Samad, thank you for bringing that up, and I think it's important to have some continuity from that group, because just to Chris and Avery's point, I just want to read out a little bit of the report itself. It does say specifically that on page 6 of that report, of the final report, there seem to be no technical reasons for restricting one-character IDN TLD labels. And further on in the recommendation on 6, I just want to give it to everyone so that we have a common background. On page 8, the recommendation 3 specifically said that 3.1 says, the team does not recommend the banning of one-character GTLDs. And 3.2 is the team recommends that further ramifications of this issue be addressed by policy bodies such as the CCNSO and GNSO. And sort of that's where we are in terms of the general policy recommendation, well, implementation recommendation based on that report.
But Edmund, let me, because otherwise I'll get confused. I understand exactly what you're saying, but is it right that that report does not include a definition of what a character actually is?
No, I take that point. I think that's a good point, and if we are dealing with it, we will have to address that particular issue, I think. So.
Hi, Hakim here. Hi,
please go ahead.
Could I just add a bit that in the discussions in the group, when we were talking about a character, especially when we're talking about characters which are not LDH, obviously it was very clear to everybody that we are talking about more than one character as far as the Punicode or ACE conversion is concerned to LDH. But it was generally applicable to all languages, and it's a visual character which we were talking about in a particular script. And sometimes that means two Unicodes because sometimes a character is in a particular script is actually formed by a base character and a composing character. So it was not even limited to one Unicode point. It was actually sometimes multiple Unicode points, but would translate into visually a single character. So that was the context of that remark.
If I may add, if you look at page 6 of the same report, somewhere further up, they have a section on measuring the string's length, and they recommend using the Unicode standard definition of what is a character. So in the report, they have already recommended one definition of a single character.
That is true. So, basically, that particular recommendation would be simply to look at it as a Unicode code point, as how we define single or two or three characters.
Doesn't that automatically mean, Edmund, that there are no single characters in IDN on that basis?
I don't understand. So one Unicode code point would be one character.
No, that's not true.
That's not right.
If you look at in some language, for example Tamil, you will need two or more Unicode points to represent one character.
Right. Sorry, Antoine. I'm browsing through the report again. Where exactly is that?
Page 6. Somewhere in the near the top, rather near the middle. The first bullet point, if you notice, it says measuring the string's length.
Right.
Okay. In that paragraph, in that section, the last paragraph mentioned how they recommend a definition of a single length.
Okay. So using Annex 29. So
that's right. Annex
there is
29.
Right. There's a Unicode standard for Unicode standard Annex number 29, which was actually recommended by the implementation working team in terms of defining the length of a of an IDN label. So we can probably use that as a starting point as well.
Edmund, this is Chuck. I want to back up a little bit on process because I think it's the discussion is really good, but I think it'd be very helpful on this call, which I think is essentially a kickoff meeting, even though the group has met some online and before, to map out where you need to go and what tools are needed. For example, is the group going to use a wiki? Has that been established? And then to map out, how does the group want to tackle the three issues that have been identified? Do one at a time sequentially or whatever approach? I'm not advocating one way or another, but I think it'd be very helpful at the end of this meeting if they're not only if the tools are going to be set up, the meeting logistics are agreed to, or at least a plan for developing those is determined, and a general approach to covering the three topics are dealt with. Otherwise, it's going to be real easy to be jumping around and be harder to capitalize on the collaboration that's needed in all three areas.
Great point, Chuck. Of course, we already just started jumping into the interesting stuff, but that's a very good point. I think we should definitely try to do that. Before we do that, because we did get to this particular discussion, did anyone want to add before we take, I guess, Chuck's suggestion in for at least for this meeting to try to figure out some of the logistics for going forward. Okay.
Edmund, it's Chris. I need to say this now because I'm going to have to go in about 5 minutes time because I have yet another call. But I just wanted to. I'm very happy to for this discussion to be about logistics and how we're going to organize it all. I think that's very important. We need to get our systems in place before we start delving into the detail. But I just want to go back a step. In the same way that I think we need a briefing on the situation in respect to single characters, I also think it's critically important that we get some sort of understanding of where we stand with variants, because there's a danger with variants that we're going to end up duplicating work or doing work that we perhaps shouldn't necessarily be doing. My understanding is that there is a technical group at the moment that's working on variants. There's the reports being published and there's more work being done, etc. So I think it's critical that this joint working group gets at absolutely clear about what, if any, role we have in respect to variants. Otherwise, there's a danger of us going off on a discussion that will confuse and not be necessarily very helpful. So, I just wanted to say that before I have to leave the call.
Those are very good points. In fact, at least myself and I believe Jane is on the same page with that as well. We need to get a strong grasp of where things are, and that's sort of why I asked if Tina could join the call today, is I think she is driving a lot of this, and we absolutely right. We should build on other people's work and not duplicate or try to and create different pieces of work. So yes, both the issue on variant and the issue on single character, we should get a brief which I think Olaf touched on, and we definitely would need probably Tina to either come on the call next time or give us some update, a clear update on where things are on the mailing list.
Well, I think that's right, Evan, but I think it needs to be both. I think it would be really helpful if we could get a statement of position, for want of a better term, both in respect to staff, the relevant staff view on single characters and variants, and then have the relevant staff, be it Tina and or others, on a subsequent call, once we've had a chance to have a look at that statement of where they currently are, so that we can ask questions and get really clear.
So, this is Bart. So I think if we look at the first two topics, say the staff character or the single characters and variants, say I will ask Tina to prepare, say, a brief note, send this around as soon as possible, and then on the call afterwards, maybe she could even update it or give a presentation, because some of these topics are really in flux. And take questions from this group, and based on that, the group can then talk about the way to move forward. Is that an approach?
Sounds good.
Sounds fine to me, Bart.
Yep.
So, and then say, so I'll ask Tina to send this out as soon as possible, so hopefully over the next 2 weeks, and based on that, what we can do as staff as well, set up a Google for, say, in 3 or 4 weeks, so we can have the first discussion with her on this topic, so it can sink in and we can schedule the call in to make it more practical.
Okay.
Yeah?
So, with that, we can move into what Chuck suggested in terms of a few housekeeping issues for the remainder of the call to really get things started. In terms of the whether we I would suggest just talking quickly about how we deal with the three issues, identified items. My feeling right now is that because it's not a very extensive list, I think we can handle it in parallel, so that in each particular meeting and as we go along, we would have updates on each of those three, rather than try to split up or handle it one at a time. I believe it might seem it seems possible to handle it in parallel and set out meetings to talk about. I mean, in a particular meeting, does it make sense to others?
Edmund, just a suggestion. I think you're right, especially leading up to, say, the first call, including Tina. But depending on, say, the depth of the issues involved, maybe the group should determine at that stage how it wants to proceed.
Fair. That's a fair statement. I think that's that's definitely where we should take it. If it becomes a you know pretty big project on its own, then perhaps we should on a particular issue we might want to have a dedicated subgroup.
Yeah, it's because I think the sense of say that's my sense of this call is the group has determined say the first or the activities the main focus of the activities. Now we need to drill down a bit more. Say, what does it really want to do? And in order to understand this, we need to understand the scope of these three different themes.
Right, and in the meantime, as we scope it out, we could probably process it in parallel. But as it, you know, if it becomes apparent that it's better to sort of have a subgroup, then we'll move to that that mode. Does that make sense for everyone else?
Yeah.
And Edmund, this is Chuck again. You don't necessarily have to. And I'm not advocating one way or the other, but you don't necessarily have to divide into subgroups. Just decide for a thing or two that you will focus on one particular topic because you need to go into depth there, like we were kind of tending to do today with regard to the single character issue. So subgroup certainly is one option, but it's not the only option.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. That's a good idea too. I would guess that at this point again, it seems to me to make sense that we can, as we are scoping it out, we could move as a group and process in parallel. And once we figure further things out, we could somehow get people more focused on one or two issues. That's a very good idea, so that we could be a little bit more efficient and effective on the discussions. In terms of some technical setup like Wiki and in fact summary or minutes of the meeting, is it possible to get staff support in setting those up?
Yes, there should be no problem at all.
Wiki and I think that's probably a good idea because then we can maintain a set of both notes and as well as where a sort of summary of where we are so far. In terms of minutes or summary, is that also a possibility?
Yeah.
Great.
To my understanding, it is. That's why you have so many staff on this call.
So I would ask the same question. Would it be Glenn or Gabby or you, Art, or who would we work with?
Let me sort this out because this is in that sense an experiment for us as well, in the sense that we have CNSO and GNSO staff working together.
I'm taking notes. Taking notes, and as far as I know, this is going to be transcripted, so I don't think there's a real need for minutes. But I'm taking notes, and I'm happy to take them. But I do think we will stick to the transcript and the recordings otherwise.
Right. So I don't think we need any formal minutes, but just a few points on sort of when we meet, just a simple summary, I think would suffice, and we can put it on the wiki and
use the email list to distribute them, and maybe what is a good point, what we find very useful, say within the CC working groups, is because all these calls are recorded and you have transcript, at least say high level action or high level summary of agenda points and action items
and decisions made.
Right.
Edmund, backing up a step, but you mentioned a wiki. This is Chuck again. the, you know, I on a different, totally different list than the GNSO, Rafiq had mentioned another tool. I don't know if you want to explore another tool besides a wiki or not, but I'll leave that up to Rafiq, whether he wants to even bring that topic up. But I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I just throw that out. Again, not advocating one way or the other, because I haven't used the other tool that he mentioned, but wikis certainly do have their limitations, and if there's a better tool, maybe this group would like to experiment with that. But Rafiq, I'll leave that up to you if you're still on the call.
True. I think we're definitely open. Rafiq?
Edmund, sorry to interrupt, Edmund. It's Chris. I need to go, so I just want to say thanks, everybody, and goodbye, and I look forward to the next call.
Hey. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Rafiq, did you want to bring up the tool or just quickly?
Yeah. So it's called Etherpad. It's a road to real-time collaboration editing. So everybody can, when he edits, so the, his or her contribution will be highlighted, and so we, it's more easy to keep the track or of editing and contribution.
Rafiq, is it like Adobe? Is it a tool along the lines of Adobe Connect?
So when someone make edit, so it will be the update will be in real time, and so it's more easy to see this change. Not like the Adobe Connect, when I think for Adobe Connect they have to upload each time. Not sure.
I guess. Here's a suggestion. Perhaps you can send some links to the tool so we can check it out. And especially, I guess, myself and Jane and probably Glenn, Gabby, and Bart will work with you and check out whether the tool works well, and then, you know, decide whether to adopt it for the group and whether we use the wiki as well or not, or does that work?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Chuck, this is Terry. Just for the minutes, I joined about 10 minutes ago. I overslept.
Overslept past 4 a.m., huh?
Yeah.
Maybe that is the issue for Tina as well.
I'm sure it was.
So, speaking of that, then why don't we talk a little bit about the meeting times and how we want to arrange this? In my mind, it seems like at this point, maybe like a 2-week, you know, every other meeting on every other, starting with every other week might be a good frequency. Does anyone have any suggestions to make it further apart or more frequent?
Initially, I think, say the basic. This is Bart. Sorry. I think the basic point is I don't know about the availability of Tina, and she's the one who needs to fill in the two issues or the two themes of single character and variant management, and that will take some time. So I suggest to take the first call in 3 weeks.
Okay. So.
And then maybe depending on that, then we can set the frequency. As we just discussed, it's also dependent on, say, what this group identifies as issues and how it wants to progress. So that's probably the second agenda point for the the first upcoming call is again processed, but how does the group want to approach the different themes?
How about this is Jen? How about this? We just don't wait for, you know, for 3 weeks. We probably could send emails to Tina, list our questions regarding the working group the working group has done, and our concerns and the questions we have, and then we'll see. Depends on, just as you said, it depends on her availability. We could see, you know, how soon we could, you know, get, you know, some background on that, and then we'll set up the next meeting.
Yeah. So Jan, I agree. So my idea was that I after this call is finished, at least today, I will send a note to Tina, say with the outcome of this call, and ask her to produce a note for this group on the two activities, say within a reasonable time frame. And in the meantime, based on that, we can ask, or the group can ask Tina questions, and even now can start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
But say that at least she has a couple of, say, some days, and you got Easter coming up as well, she has some time to give prepare a proper brief for this working group.
So, Ms. Edmund, so I think if I got you correctly, Bart, you're saying that if Tina can turn around and provide a input earlier, we could try to set up an earlier call again. But right now, what you're seeing is probably around a 3 week window is
a reasonable time frame. So without stressing, because all of us, we sit in on other working groups as well. So we need to get this geared up, and you want to prepare this properly.
Understood. I personally don't have a big issue with that, but I agree with Jane in that if we get it earlier, then we could schedule our next call earlier. But
yeah.
I guess at this point we can say 2 to 3 weeks is the general window. About time wise, I personally I'm okay with having a time that's more amenable for folks in Pacific time frame. But in general, do we want to have different times, or do we want to have the same time, just around the same time right now? I think a doodle went out, and this was the time that was developed.
Edmund, this is Chuck again. One question is, were people responding to that as a one-time meeting or as a regular time? So it could be, if that wasn't clear, you may want to do a doodle that explores an ongoing time frame, make sure people are clear on that. Now, if that was already clear, then that may not be needed.
That was just for this meeting.
Okay, thanks. Useful. I appreciate that.
Okay. It seems to be a little bit difficult to make any particular decision on this over this call. It seems, especially with a pending item to really get work started. The response from compiled by Tina and staff would be quite important, so we know where what our starting points need to be. I guess we would like for it to happen sooner. Just want to let Bart know that if Tina is willing or could turn around that earlier, it would be much appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's very clear, yeah. No, but I just wanted to make it as realistic as possible. Say, and it's again with scheduling as well. Say, if we start scheduling, I think that is our role as staff as well to say after today send out some doodles, and probably on a revolving basis, so people share the burden of the unworldly hours, because you're dealing with people both in say Australia and on the US West Coast. Yeah, one way or the other, that's my experience at least in some of the CC working groups. If you don't revolve, then it's going to be very difficult for some people to attend regularly. So maybe that's a suggestion moving forward, and we send out a doodle probably for 3 weeks to make it definite, because then it's easier to schedule as well for everybody. 2 weeks is rather quick, I would say, to start scheduling for the whole group.
Right. So in that case, why don't we just try to set up a call in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And try to set up a time where it works for everyone, so we can come back to that time for a few times going forward. Does that make sense?
Or on a revolving basis, we can do either way, because that's the easiest way. If you have a date, then you figure out the time.
Okay.
Well, this is Gabby. This is Gabby. What about that? I make a doodle and I suggest different times that are convenient or inconvenient for whoever,
yeah.
and you can just fill in and we check who can make it or not.
Give a few more times, I guess. Or what do people think?
Yeah.
So not just two slots, maybe like three or four slots, and we'll get a sense what time works best. I think at least in the next little while, we'll probably need more staff to help out on getting things started. So I'm perfectly fine with having times that are easier for staff to join.
Much appreciated.
Bart, what time is your time now?
My time is 2 p.m., so that's fine. But I know, this is for U.S. West Coast, this is pretty early. So this when we started at 1 p.m., it's minus 9. So that's right in the middle of the night. And if you move forward, it's going to be very difficult for you.
Mm.
So I'm more concerned by other staff than myself.
really, Jane and Han Chuan, and others, probably Rafiq also, how comfortable are you guys in the middle of the night?
Well, if it's around midnight, I'm sure it's quite okay. But if it goes down really early morning, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., then it might be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have the same problem with Chris, because Chris is, again, 2 or 3 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Right. So
it doesn't mean that
he
needs to attend. I think the best way is to just set out some alternative slots. And do you want, say, once we have the upcoming call in 3 weeks, then every 2 weeks another call?
I think that should be a good idea to start with.
So leading up to Brussels. And then, again, try to organize already a face-to-face meeting in Brussels so we can organize a room in time.
Good idea.
based on that, see where we are in Brussels, and based on that one, we move forward. And that can be determined in Brussels.
Good.
Yeah.
Edmund, this is Chuck. I want to let you know that I'm not planning to continue to be active on the JIG. We have a lot of good, well-qualified people from the GNSO on the group, and so I don't think I need to continue. They will do a good job of working on the group. Certainly, though, I do want to let you know that if I can be assistance as chair of the GNSO, I'm ready and available, so just let me know whatever you might need in terms of support from me, whether it be attending a call or something else. So, again, there are at least five people from the GNSO besides me on the group, and they're all well-qualified. So I'm going to let you and Jane and the other people in the group do your thing without my interference.
Thank you, Chuck. And, in fact, you have provided much input already, useful for us to get things started, and thanks to that. And I think definitely from my side, I'll update the council as well when we meet on the progress here in the group. And you will continue to be on the mailing list, so get a peripheral sense of where things are headed.
Correct.
So I guess with that, we've gone for about an hour. And I think we've had a pretty constructive session and laying out some action items going forward. Does anyone want to bring up any particular issue before we close? If not, we can take it back to the mailing list, and we'll wait for Bart and Tina for the update. And also, I think, is it Gabby that will send out the doodle for the next calls?
Yes, I'll do that.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, and good night, good evening, good morning.
Whatever. Nice day.
Bye-bye.
Dave, thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.